Oftentimes, I think of the Christmas story, and I think of what it would have been like to go through that 9 months of pregnancy with everyone talking about you behind your back. That would not be enjoyable. But sometimes what I lose sight of is the fact that it just wasn't the 9 months she was pregnant. His entire life was like that. They knew he was the Messiah, but other people weren't believing it. His ministry, his lifetime, there were still people who were judging Mary and Joseph according to what they thought was them covering up sin in their lives because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Their whole life, they carried that burden and that stigma from a group of people who were judging them according to what they read in the scriptures. That's a heavy burden. I'm so thankful as I read this story and as Holy Spirit spoke to me, I'm so thankful they had each other. I am so thankful that they could draw on each other in their experience and be strengthened in the revelation that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Joseph was encouraged by the angel not to lean into his fear or to run away from Mary in the situation, but to take her home and to bring her as his wife, but that he still walked that out in his righteousness in a way that left her purity without question. He didn't come close to her physically until after Jesus was born. It's a testament to his righteousness. He wasn't just righteous before they got married. It carried on. That is the level of integrity and character that this man walked in. We can't underplay the significance of the Holy Spirit conceiving a child in Mary. Sometimes I think, particularly as Pentecostals, when we read about this, we maybe just kind of brush over it a little bit, that the Holy Spirit would be at work in this situation. It's massive. This isn't just a little moment. When I read it this time, I was drawn back to the words of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's the kind of likeness and the imagery that we have in this moment where Mary conceives Jesus. We're never going to understand the intricacies of it. And one of the biggest hurdles that I think people have in their faith walk sometimes is trying to answer the questions that are meant to remain unanswerable. How does that happen? I don't know. As your pastor, I am happy to admit to you, I don't get it. I don't fully understand the ins and the outs. But if I did, he wouldn't be God. If I understand all the components, well, how does that make me different than in the garden when Adam and Eve wanted knowledge and wisdom and to have all the answers? There are some answers we're not meant to have. But what we do know that we are reminded in this story in Matthew is that the same God who created the universe out of nothing is still as creative and capable of making something out of nothing today. That is the beauty found in the Nativity story when we look at the things we don't have answers to. Joseph agreed to marry Mary. They walked that out. And because of everything that was going on, we have to know in the cultural context, Joseph was perceived as that baby's dad, no questions, right? They didn't have a term like stepdad. It was just his dad. And so he would have the authority to name that child. He would help him grow in wisdom and stature. It says that he would have this son, his son who would grow in wisdom and stature and save the people from their sin. The angel revealed the first ever gender announcement. There wasn't a balloon that popped out blue confetti. There wasn't a cake that you cut open and it was blue inside. There wasn't an ultrasound to pass around or like, yes, look, it's a baby boy. The angel of the Lord in a dream shows up to him and says, you're going to have a son. And that son is going to be the savior of the earth. Emmanuel, God with us. That is a profound moment. As an intriguing side note, as a kid, I always wondered why he was Emmanuel, God with us, but we call him Jesus. Anyone? Anyone else? Just me? Okay, random question, fun fact for myself. When Isaiah writes about that, oftentimes in the Hebrew text, the exchanges between the phrases to be called and to be, they were interchangeable or they meant the same thing. So you could be called Stephanie or you could be Stephanie. Does that make sense? So we read it differently than how they intended it. And so in Isaiah's writing, he was talking about nature. His nature is that he is the wonderful counselor. His nature is that he is mighty God. His nature is that he is the everlasting Father. His nature is that he is the Prince of Peace. His nature is that he is literally God with us. His nature is Emmanuel. His name is Jesus, because he has saved us from our sins. Joseph gets to agree with Mary and confirm that that will be the name that this child carries. Isn't that beautiful? What if he had walked? That's a scary thought. Do you ever read a Bible story and wonder what happens if they had played out their part of this differently? What if Mary said yes to God and Joseph said no? So thankful we don't have to find that one out. How beautiful is it that God confirms, not to one of the couple, but to both of the couple, what it is and how he's working through them. So the question remains, why Joseph? Why him? His willingness to honor what the angel said, to abstain from any kind of physical relationship with her, so that the story remained true and remained accurate and above reproach and above question. It was righteousness exemplified. Any less of a man would have allowed question into the narrative of what God was doing. It had to be him. Joseph's yes to God was so big, and so often, because we don't hear much more about him in Scripture at all, we kind of dismiss his part in the Christmas story a little bit. Today I want to take a couple moments to encourage you to say yes to righteous living like Joseph did. To live a life that is God-honoring, and to know that God isn't looking for you to be perfect. In fact, he knows that you and I aren't going to be perfect, and that's why he sent his son, a baby named Jesus, to save you and I from our sins. And he extends grace to us that washes over all of that. I want to encourage you to remember that God cares about people. Sometimes when it comes to God, we get this perspective that it's him and us, and that's all that matters. What matters is him and us for everyone. He cares about every person that we encounter. He cares about your family. He cares about the people who have hurt you as much as he cares about you. He cares about the people who talked about Joseph and Mary behind their back as much as he cared about Joseph and Mary. We need to remember that in his care for everyone, when we walk out our circumstances, we don't always have all the details, do we? About a month ago, we talked about a sermon. We said sometimes it's okay to keep things to ourselves. Sometimes it's okay to say everything's okay, because what's going on is between God and us. I was struck with the fact that as Mary and Joseph walked out their life judged by other people, there are some profound moments in my life where I can identify with that pain. And mine may have lasted months or years. Theirs lasted their whole lifetime. And I would like to think that if I wrote myself back into the Christmas story, I would be the one who believed them. If I got to go back and I got to be a part of it, and I got to be there when all of this happened, and Mary strolled up to me at the fish hut and she says, yeah, I'm having a baby, and it was the Holy Spirit, and God's doing a thing, and it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to name him Jesus. Joseph's down for it. I would go, whoa, let's pray. Anyone else? When we read ourselves, but when we go back and we picture the story, we often find ourselves going, yeah, I would believe it. But truth be told, I wouldn't. Because I know how judgmental I have been of things I have heard and seen around me that people were sure was God. And I didn't have that check in myself. And so I judged how they walked out their journey. Just be totally transparent with you this morning. And so this morning I want to encourage you that as you encounter people, not only this Christmas season, but in the days and months and weeks ahead, that you remember that their journey with God is them and God. And you can champion them, and you can pray for them, and you can root for them, and you can lift them up, and you can seek him on their behalf, and you can go before him, and you can intercede in prayer for them. Or you can stand back and be like the people who talked about Joseph and Mary. You get to make the choice. And this morning, I want to encourage you. When the moment comes and you realize that you judged the unconventional way God was at work, you can easily say, we're sorry. And we can make a new choice the next day. Because sometimes God with us works in unconventional ways, through unconventional people, through unconventional answers. Sometimes we can read the scriptures and we can be so sure that we understand what it is that Paul's writing to Timothy, or we can be so sure that we understand the commands that he's given to everybody, that we're so confident of that, then we walk around and we look at everybody else measuring them against what we've read, when truth be told, it's their journey with him. Mary and Joseph had their own journey, and their journey changed my life. Their journey, their yes, their outside of the norm changed your life. You realize the power of choice that we have when we say yes? Let's be the kind of people that champion other people in their journey, no matter how different it is. Let's remember that God is actually quite literally with us. He is Emmanuel. In your circumstance, in your home, in your neighbor's circumstance, in their home, God is at work in each of our environments, in each of our hearts, and he is alive and active. He's not a baby in a manger. He's no longer a man on a cross, but he is the Son of God seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for you and I. He is our great high priest. He is Jesus. How does that change our Christmas season? I don't know about you, but it makes me feel much more confident. It makes me feel like I can stand up a little straighter in the weight of life. It makes me realize that maybe sometimes I need to repent because I tried to be God with someone else instead of realizing he was God with us. We get to choose the power that we walk in. We get to choose the understanding of the truth of the depths of Christmas stories. We get to understand that the same way God chose Joseph for his piece in the Christmas story, he's chosen you for a piece in the story of this season and of this time and of this moment. And you can say yes. Isn't that amazing? So this morning I'm going to ask you to stand up. You would bow your heads with me. I want to give opportunity that if there is anyone in this room who has not said yes to Jesus, who's not asked him to be their Lord and Savior, I don't want you to go home without the opportunity to make that choice. So if that's you and you would like to, for the first time ever, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, nobody else is looking, if you would just slip up your hand, I would love to pray with you. Father, this morning, I am very aware that sometimes life gets in the way of seeing the fullness of your birth and of the journey and of the power of what you did and how you worked through ordinary people. God, would you forgive me for not always having focused in on the power and your presence in the Christmas story. God, would you forgive us for the moments where we have rushed through the Christmas season to get on to the next thing, to get to family, to get to events, to get to whatever it is. And I ask that in the course of the next week, as we remember your birth, God, as we remember this moment in history that changed everything, would you bring it back to our minds? Would you draw us close? Would you speak to us? God, would you bring us back to the scriptures, and would we be challenged to read it in just a new revelation of the Holy Spirit? We'll be challenged to draw close to it in a way that maybe we never have at Christmas before. Father, for the times that we have judged other people's journeys with you this morning, we repent. We are so sorry for having stepped into that place. We ask that you would just wash us and we would sense your forgiveness. God, I pray that as we move forward, that you would help us to be a people who champion each other's causes. God, would you help us to be a people who rally around, who unite together, who lift others up, who pursue you passionately together? God, would you help us to be a people who say yes to you? Would you help us to be a people who are just excited about you and what you are doing, and who are willing to walk each step of the journey with you and with the people that you have surrounded us with? We love you so much, Father. Thank you for sending your Son for us. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for all that the Christmas season reminds us of. And would you just bring us back together safely again on Christmas Eve? In your name, amen.